Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, especially Kauai and Kiyan. The title of our message today is Win, Lose, or Draw, based on Matthew 16:26, where Jesus said these words, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but lose his soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" On this Confirmation Sunday, I invite all of you to pull out of the bulletin your sermon insert. You'll find the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Win, Lose, and Draw. Well, whether you're playing in a sporting event or a card game, or any competition, there seems these days to be a very popular saying. The saying is this: will it be win or lose or draw? That is the people that are playing, the person that's playing or the team that's playing, are they playing for a win? Are they playing to lose? Are they playing to draw, that is to break even or to tie? And some people might even ask, well, why would you even play if you're playing to lose or playing to draw? Doesn't it only make sense to play to win? And the question of today's sermon is this, and it's Roman numeral 1 on your outline. In our lives today, will it be win, lose, or draw? Kauai, Kiyan, today is a very important day to ask the question. It's a question we all should be asking: what really is most important in this life? This is a question that I've asked myself numerous times this past week. I've asked myself this question because I had to preach the funeral of and lay to rest my dear friend, Kim Moksanim, Pastor Kwansu Kim of Faith Surrey. And not just as a pastor with a number of other pastors, and a pastor because he's a pastor, also because he's my friend, and I'm a man, and I'm aging as we all are. As I held that urn of ashes at the cemetery, even as we were blessed in these ashes and committing Kwansu to God's good, great earth, I asked myself the question, what really is important in life? What's really lasting? I'm asking you today, if someone were to tell you you were soon to lose everything that's important in your life, and you could only hold on to one thing, what would you hold on to? The proverbial question, if your house were on fire and you only could save one thing, what would you save? Today, on Confirmation Sunday, it's a good time to ask this question, not just of these two fine young men, but for all of us. What really is the one thing most important in my life? The goals and choices we make right now in our lives set the stage for our life, for the future, and for all eternity. Can't you see it around you? Every Sunday morning, because God has put His call on your heart, you gather in this house of worship. The vast majority of all of our neighbors have no time for God, no time for His house of worship. Probably 8 out of every 10 people who live in this province take no time for God. Matthew 16:26, Jesus asked these questions. And the questions He's asking is of you and me. In this life, will you win? Will you lose? Or will you draw? He put it this way: what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What can a person give in exchange for their soul? This is what Jesus said. Kawhi Kiyoung, the person today who plays for safety and simply follows the crowd loses their life. For a moment, if you could ask, I'd like you to ask three of my high school classmates, Debbie, Jeff, and Steve. They had all the world had to offer. They gained the whole world. They had what we thought at that time were the most important things in life. But they rebelled against God and left Him behind and left their lives in ruins. Debbie was beautiful, the prettiest girl in the school. So concerned with her wonderful clothes and her outward appearance, her whole life was consumed with how she looked. At our 10-year reunion, by the time she was 28 years old, she had been married and divorced 3 times, and now living alone and lonely. And there was Jeff. Jeff was the star athlete of our school. The horizons were limitless for him, a full sports scholarship to a major university. Sports were his entire life. And then Jeff was injured. His dreams were dashed. The thing that he made most important in his life abandoned him, and he ended up pumping gas in a gas station, so disappointed with his life. And there was Steve. Steve had brains and Steve had money. Boy, did he have money. But he wasted it all on drugs, and he dropped out of college, and he lived what many would consider a wasted life. Now, there's nothing wrong with beauty. Thank goodness. There's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with brains or money. But if these things become our gods, we're in trouble. Remember from confirmation? I know you two guys do. Luther said a god is whatever we look to for our highest good. A god is whatever we fear, love, and trust above all things. But if these things in our life that God gives us as blessings, beauty, sports, money, you name it, become our gods, life can become a mess. Life can be filled with so much stuff, but no real purpose. Reminds me of a mechanically minded man whose name was Wallstrom. He loved to go to garage sales and used sales and find all kinds of gadgets and gizmos. He particularly liked wheels and gears and lights and bells. And so in his house, he had an entire room filled with wheels, lights, and bells. And you pushed a button on the wall, and the wheels spun, the lights lit up, and the bells began to ring. It was an amazing sight. One day a visitor came and said, "Your room is simply amazing, but tell me, what's the purpose of it all? What does it do?" And Walsham said, "Simple. You push a button and wheels turn, lights flash, and bells ring." "Yes, but what's the purpose?" "Well, you push a button and wheels turn and lights flash and bells ring. To have our lives filled with stuff, even many good things in this life, but without an eternal purpose, and without an intimate connection to the Lord of life, Jesus Christ, our lives can simply become a room filled with wheels and lights and bells." Young men, here's a startling statistic. The rest of you can eavesdrop on this message I'm giving these men. Did you realize that well-to-do teenagers are North America's highest rate of suicide? Why? Their lives are filled with stuff. Wheels, lights, and bells. But their hearts and souls are empty. And the second highest rate of suicide is recently retired men who formerly had a position of power and authority. Why? Well, because if your life is defined by your work and your job and it has become your God and the wheels stop spinning and the bells quit ringing and the lights quit flashing, how do you go on? Jesus put it this way: it is possible for a person to gain the whole world and yet lose their soul. But also in our lives, breaking even is not enough. The person who plays for a draw, that is to tie or to break even, still loses. We're not talking about a person who has turned their back against God in rebellion. No, we're talking about a person who just doesn't care about God and fills their lives with simply a comfortable lifestyle. Just ask my high school classmate, whose name is Wally. Wally had a very successful job. He became a tennis professional, a very nice home, a very nice bank account. But one summer on vacation, when he and I played some tennis and he cleaned my clock, after he played, then he asked me seriously, "Is this all there is to life? Is this all there is?" You see, Wally had not lost like Debbie and Jeff and Steve. He had drawn even. But to draw even is to lose. Matthew 16, Jesus says, "What does it profit a person to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul?" Wally's life was empty. Wally's soul was empty. Saint Augustine, a spiritual father of the church, actually the spiritual father of Martin Luther, said this: "The soul is restless until it finds its rest in Thee, O God." In our lives, the person who does not play for safety or does not play to draw, but that person that risks it all in Jesus Christ wins. What is it that Jesus is telling us in our text? Listen to the text again. Jesus said, "What does it profit a person to gain the whole world but lose their soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul?" Jesus says that real life, and young men, especially on your confirmation Sunday, Jesus says to you, real life, real hope, a real future, finding your soul for all eternity is only possible when that life is intimately connected to the Lord of life, Jesus Christ. Jesus says the same thing in John 10, verse 10, where he says, "I have come that you might have life and have life to the fullest." Permit me a short Greek lesson from my old days as a seminary professor. In the Greek language, the language in which the Bible was written, there are two words for life. One is bios, one is zoe. Bios is the word from which we get the English word biology. Bios simply means to breathe and to exist, to eat, sleep, and work, and take a breath. It means to exist. But zoe, the word for life, means to live life with all the vigor and vitality and blessings that God means for us to have. Jesus said, "I have come so that you would not just have biological life. I have come that you might have zoe, life to the fullest." And again in John 14, 6, Jesus says these words. Notice, Jesus says these words. I am the way and the truth and the life. Having life as God intends means knowing at least these three things. And by the way, these are the three things these young men spoke to us in their messages earlier. Having life in Jesus' name means knowing, number one, that you have the unconditional, eternal love of Almighty God given to you in Jesus Christ, and nothing can take God's love from you. Number two, it means knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Yes, I'm talking about you. Your sins have been forgiven at the cross because of Jesus. And it means knowing that this short life is not all that there is. There is an eternal life to come. This is not losing. This is not drawing. This is winning. Just ask my high school classmate, Gail. When we were in school, Gail was voted the girl most likely. Gail had very loose morals. Gail ran with the fastest crowd. Gail always took some devilish joy in publicly ridiculing and making fun of me because of my Christian faith. On the athletic field, in the classroom, in the library, she would go out of her way to ridicule and make fun of the Jesus boy, as she called me. At a high school reunion some years later, as I was sitting at a table with my friends, I could see from the corner of the auditorium Gail, not walking, but marching to my table with a big grin on her face. My first thought was, oh no, Gail, give it a rest. Please, not in front of, come on, it's our reunion. And then Gail, this pretty young woman, threw her arms around me and kissed me on the cheek. Now I must confess, I've had that problem my whole life. But on that reunion day, after hugging me and kissing me, Gail said these words that just went to my heart. She said, thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for always still telling me that Jesus loved me even though I made your life awful in school. Because a few years ago, God gave me faith in Jesus Christ. And I went to school and became a nurse. I married a deacon of the Baptist church. I guess she couldn't find an available Lutheran. And we went on a medical mission trip to Africa. We served there for years. We've just come home in time for the reunion. And God has made a difference in my life for all eternity. That was Gail. What do we find in Matthew 16, verse 25, just before our text for today? Listen carefully. Focus here. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What does that mean? Losing our life means turning our backs to the values and priorities of this world. Are you hearing me, young men? Losing our life means turning our back to what the world around us screams and shouts that's so darned important. Turning our back on the wheels and the lights and the bells. But losing our life in Jesus means, as you've told us, trusting in Him. Knowing that in Him you have eternal life. Knowing that in Him you win forever. In 1929, in January, there was a very famous American University football game played. They still play it today. It's called the Rose Bowl. In 1929, by the way, anybody here alive in 1929? Raise your hand if you were. A couple of you young whippersnappers out there, okay. In 1929, In 29, the game was between the University of California and Georgia Tech. Getting close to halftime, the game was scoreless. But just before the half, Georgia Tech tried to run the ball, and they fumbled it, and a defensive player, a linebacker by the name of Roy Riggles, picked up that ball and ran 65 yards to the goal line. The wrong goal line. His teammate caught up with him and tackled him just before he scored a touchdown for the other team. And since that play, Roy Riggles has been known as Wrong Way Roy Riggles. As the team went into the locker room at halftime, Riggles was inconsolable. He buried his head in a towel and was weeping as his coach was giving the team a pep talk. And the last thing the coach said to his team was this: "Men, the same players who ended the first half will start the second half. The game is only half over." All the men marched out except for the coach, and Riggles was still weeping. And the coach said, "Roy, the same men who ended the first half will start the second." And Riggles, sobbing, said, "Coach, I've embarrassed you. I've embarrassed my university. I've embarrassed all who are watching this game. I can't go back out and play the second half." And the coach said, "Riggles, son, I forgive you. The game is only half over. Get back and finish the second half." And when the University of Georgia Tech players were interviewed after the game, they testified they had never seen a man play with such vigor and such strength as Riggles did the second half. When I first heard that story, I thought, what a coach. But more importantly today, we should all think, what a God who says to sinners like you and like me from that cross, "My son, my daughter, I forgive you. The game is only half over. I know how you've fallen. I know how you've sinned, but I forgive you. The game is only half over. Don't you ever give up." Kawhi, Ki-young, and all of us here today, Almighty God says this final word. In your lives, it doesn't need to be win or lose or draw. In Jesus Christ, you will win forever. Blessed Confirmation Day. In the name of Jesus, amen.